everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. Glad to have you back. We're doing it three times a week. We're grinding. Three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Street Fight Radio is coming to you on your iTunes, on your SoundCloud, on your WCRSFM.org website. However you get the show, I see all y'all out there, and I appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in and supporting what we do. Essentially, the goals of Street Fight Radio is to create a workers' party, internationally organized, horizontally organized, that's focused on self-determination and mutual aid, and getting rid of the fucking ruling class. Getting rid of Republican and Democratic solutions that force a status quo that leaves the rest of us behind. We're just looking to get everybody into an actual party, like not like a political party, but like a having a much better time in their life type situation party. And we plan to do that through poisoning people's minds with our voices over the airwaves in Columbus, Ohio, where we are on the airwaves every Sunday at 10 p.m., 102.1 or 98.3 if you're inside 270. You can listen to us there and a lot of other amazing program. Please check it out. We're on the TuneIn Radio app as well on WCRS, so you can always check in what's going on in the community. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby. We've been happily doing this for 6 years. And, you know, even happier to find out, like, everything's gone street fight. Like, the world's gone street fight. 2017 is a banner year for street fight. Street fighting, at least.
It's all of our nightmares, and like,
sure, I
wish we're getting it's one of those, so you guys really gonna be there when the shit goes down things, like they're testing us now.
We you told know? You there was a lot of police state shit going on, and you thought we were quacks that were reading anarchist materials, but they were really doing police state shit.
Yeah. They've been all up in that police.
They've been doing drone warfare shit for a long while now. So yeah, I mean, we're ready to fight against it. And where's it going down? The new voting is being in the streets. That's what it is.
They're not going to let any of us vote in the next election.
Yeah, we're going to get a record. We're going to get some sort of mark. We're going to get dog-eared.
No, I mean, nobody that listens to Street Fight, like, we're probably getting you kicked out of voting, I imagine.
It could happen. There's lists, and Street Fight listeners will be on it, but it's like, which side are you on? You know, I feel like I want to get more of these actions to be, like I said, I feel like this is the new voting. So if we could pick days where everyone that is against, like, Dakota Access Pipeline, that's what went down tonight in Columbus. But I would love it to see more of a nationwide effect where everybody that's against it just goes outside and starts screaming. You know, like, that's a way better way to vote than casting a ballot.
That's how you get in people's ears, because then your neighbor comes out and they're like, you know, what the fuck are you out here doing? And you're like, deal with Donald Trump and I won't have to do this anymore.
Sure. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone actually requested that we talk about the general strike on the 17th. And I don't know. I don't know the concrete details of it yet. Do you?
I mean, I know that you just don't go to work on a general strike. Like, it's not something you and I are going to have to do much to do, you know?
Sure.
Like, we can just be like, oh, well, you know, we're not going to record today.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing.
Maybe emails. I'll get a day off. I'll take a day off emails.
Yeah, I'm going to do it, too. I might watch TV. I might, like, sit and just watch, like, a whole season of a show or something.
I agree. I might dive into some anime or something.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's something so attractive to a general strike to me, because I believe in my heart that it's, like, one of the best like, it's a great action to take. It's one of those, like, we're not going to go to work, and the things are going to stop. It's going to be, things are going to shut down, and that's the power that we have. Let's all look at each other and realize that we can grind this thing to a halt if we want to.
That's true. You find your comrades. The closest thing I had, I remember there was a time during the Bush era when they tried to do this a day without a Mexican type deal, where they wanted everybody to call off work on that day, and I was like totally down for any cause that was about calling off work.
Yeah.
But yeah. I did think that they knew why I called off, but like, I don't think the bosses knew. I feel like it has to be common knowledge, like why people aren't at work. You know,
that's hard though, because
people are going to show up to work.
They're not going to talk about it on like the Morning Zoo radio show.
That's
about
true.
The general strike. They're probably not even going to bring that up. Like,
no.
I could picture them bringing it up and then getting calls from all their sponsors. Like, what in the shit is wrong with this guy?
Right, right. This isn't good. This isn't good. Yeah. What's up with all the people, the wackos that think they are just going to go on strike? I mean, come on, folks. We got a lot to do.
That blue apron work still got to get done, man.
Right, right.
They still got to do that stuff.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I called
off on the day without a Mexican, too, and I was probably conservative.
Like, right. You were just trying to get a day off.
I'm for any strike that – I'm, like, all four strikes. Like, I had a buddy that went on strike when I lived with him. And it was a big hardship on the house because they were on strike for, like, over a month. And, you know – when nobody really helping out with money.
Right, right. It's like all of a sudden they don't have any.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I think for me, I listened to a pretty good episode of Katie Halper's show, and they talked about like the conditions and what it means and everything. And I certainly think that if you're trying to be some sort of like strategic person or plan shit out, how it doesn't, it does seem like very early. But I don't think that we really need to do hand-wringing. Once again, I'm like, all hand-wringing has to go to the side. Every single – I want you guys and gals, before you go to bed at night, get rid of any opinion you have about some hand-wringing type shit. Just let go of it and stop thinking about it. Stop wringing hands. I think that it's a good build-up. You know, there needs to be moments – that are big and where everybody's going to agree to do something. The Women's March was so successful because, not because D.C. showed up. I mean, a lot of people went there. But other people were like, well, I can't go to fucking D.C. I live in California. I can't go to fucking D.C. But I can make noise here in California. I can make noise here in Wyoming. Like, I can make noise where I'm at. And so I think the more national... I think for me, the way that I'm seeing this is like your vote. It's the immigration thing was very simple. Everybody outside right now is against the Muslim ban. There was no Occupy situation where they're like, what are they asking for? What are they supposed to want? What do they need? It's like, there's none of that. You know, it's like people every time now, the more that we can be in solidarity with each other and have it be known what we're saying. I think the better, and general strike is awesome. I mean, I'm down for it. I think the people that want to Hammond Hall, y'all can take off the 17th to do Hammond and Hall and about why it's bad, I guess.
Yeah.
And plan for, I know May Day is also being talked about as
May Day's the one.
I think that's going to be big enough.
May Day's the one I like. I like the symbolic nature of May Day too. You know, a lot of people don't know that's a big time. I mean, that's the international, everybody knows, but like a lot of people that would participate in the general strike don't know what May Day is.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually Loyalty Day in the United States.
Sure. Yeah, they have totally taken it over. They moved our labor. It's Labor Day in the rest of the world, actually. Like, most of the rest of the world celebrates it as, like, their Labor Day. And they put ours at the end of the summer. They close the fucking pools and shit.
I know. They make it like, you know, hey, y'all complained this labor movement, you know.
Right.
It's the reason you got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, we have a fucked up relationship with work. And I mean, I'm all in support of this 17th action just because it's time. I mean, there's no better time than right now, you know, to start doing shit.
I'll do both. But that, again, Brett and I have this privilege of like we can push all of our work to the next day and nothing's going to like Judy's not going to go tell the boss that, you know, you're dragging ass.
Yeah.
Like I think
work
like
stoppage.
I sympathize or empathize. I don't know which one you're supposed
could
to
be.
Do.
Could be either.
Like, but I do understand like the office worker that's like afraid to call off because those jobs are so.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just I was afraid of everything.
Yeah.
You know, like I was afraid of every time I called off. They make it seem like you pulled a ripcord, like you broke a glass in case of an emergency.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is a matter of making people commit. I mean, it's a commitment, and there is a lot of information. There's a lot of proselytizing, I think, that we have to do in a way. I think we have to get people like more fanatical to say like if by May 1st Donald Trump is still the president, I'm going to stop fucking working. You know what I mean?
Could we talk people into like a gradual slowdown then to a strike? I think if we just slowed the hell down, like if we could just get everybody, like I wish that's if I could give a speech to every person, it would be like, slow down, like 10 ticks, man. They're still going to pay you. You know what I mean? They still have to get it done. Like, we have let them speed things up way too fast. We just got to be like, no, it can't work that fast anymore. We all walk extra slow.
I think it's a matter of inconvenience, though. That's really the trouble here, is not, and that's what I've come to understand is like, the future we're heading into is going to be not as easy as just sitting on your ass and getting cheap goods and services and watching TV. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's, we're definitely, there's going to be hardship coming.
I mean, there's just, it's switching from just being on coast and taking control of your life, you know, and not accepting the contracts that we've gone into anymore. I mean, you have one fucking life. Why don't you just stand up to all the boss? Why don't we all stand up to the bosses all at once?
I mean,
fuck it. Like, y'all are treating us horribly.
Like, people were like, anytime I've ever seen somebody yell at the boss or do some like good actions against the boss, everybody at work loves it. You know, like it becomes like a underground talking thing. It's like,
right.
When I quit the one restaurant job, somebody sent Brett a thing saying like, because I told him about the show. He sent, didn't they?
Yeah.
Send you a thing like, man, it was sweet when I had to clean it up too, but it was cool. Cause like,
it was great that Brian threw that ranch dressing on that manager.
Yeah.
Boss.
Yeah, I also threatened to fight one inside of Kroger. He would have whooped my ass too, man. This was when I was like 115 pounds and, you know, I had a fade but bangs in the front, and I like tried to call off work, and the manager was so mean to me, right? Like, I said, I don't want to come in, and he was like, you better get your ass in here. And I'm working for a union place, by the way. This is Kroger. You
right.
better get your ass in here. And I was like, well, buddy, I quit. And then the next day I came up to the store with my friends and I saw him. And I was just like, you're a fucking bitch, dude. And tried to fight him inside of the store.
Right.
You know? But people like that shit. People love it when the boss... I like when the boss seems vulnerable. You know what I mean? Because they never feel that way.
No. They're always very much sure that they can treat you like shit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is like... It's going to take... I don't think we need to put limits on it, like what we can and can't do. We just have to lead a lot of people into it, just kind of direct them into, you know, sitting on your hands, you know, and not doing your fucking job.
I mean,
it's just your duty, because we are fueling this Trump economy.
Yeah,
you know?
We need to work hard to help people cut corners and slow down, you know, like that's something we're really focusing hard on. Now, we came up with the idea for obituaries, like that is a good get off of work free, because you know they can't tell you, like, bereavement days don't build, you know, you can just have as many bereavement days as you know people,
right?
Really,
right.
You aren't gonna run out of them.
Sure.
So like we would sell obituaries. That's a corner that's cut.
But
you
know? I think the preparation for a new society, you know, like this is the thing, man. You have a ramp, but you have to figure out how you're going to land as well. So like, we can keep pushing up against like the ruling class and the government, but you know, at the end of it all, we're going to have to figure out a way to organize without like 8 assholes owning all the money.
That's true.
I mean,
like, that's the best thing we can do.
But we'll have to make sure shit gets done. It's just not going to be as easy as it was before. Like Amazon Prime is not going to be a guarantee, I don't think, in the new America.
Right.
Like, I mean, 2 days is too much. It asks too much of people to get shit to your house within 36 hours, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking for that
Grubhub, all that, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Grubhub will still be around. Don't worry. Don't worry, Felix. The Chapo boys would be destroyed if Grubhub was gone.
I mean, it's just, it to me, it's like a matter of, like, how radical can we get? Like, don't, there's anxiety out there and there's fear because, you know, people are calling to head in a different direction. And how, you know, we've just been thrust into this position, but there's a lot of energy that I think could lead to a real reorganization of society. I hope so.
Yeah. So you brought this up before the show to me, okay, about Byte.
Oh, yeah.
This restaurant. I have the article in front of me, but like, I just want to, like, this relates to work, right?
Yeah. This is a few guys that opened a restaurant and they were focused on, like, valuing their labor, valuing workers. They had been through the ringer in the restaurant industry, which, I mean, I've been there and we know people that's been there and it's awful. It's like really macho and it's about working 70 hours a week and it's mistreatment. The chef is always somebody that can come and scream the worst things at you and insult you in any possible way. Kitchen is a fucking nightmare, man.
It's the realm of tyrant. Like,
oh yeah,
the biggest small business tyrants. When I talk about a small business tyrant, I'm talking about usually a chef or somebody that runs a restaurant. It's somebody that, especially a chef, whose skill is in cooking.
Yeah,
and it has no skill in dealing with people, and they're your manager just by virtue of they're good at cooking, not because they're good at dealing with people. They treat you like another part of the food, another tool.
But yeah, but the really that's the problem though. The mythos of the restaurant has built up these guys and gals is like, if you're willing to scream in someone's fucking face over how they slice some basil, like that means you care enough to be like a fucking chef. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that's not necessary to debase somebody, disenfranchise a person over the way they cut some scallions or something.
Well, yeah, and they do it because they say they're building you up, but like, I don't know that you're, I mean, my sister is a chef and she wrote an article for our zine that we have, that you might even have in your hand by the time this comes.
I don't think
very,
so.
Very
yet.
Soon.
It's coming.
Very soon. We promise.
It's in coming. February.
But like the stories she tells in that article are about a lot of like sexual harassment too. Like it's
that's the problem.
It's very misogynistic, and I guess I think about it because if you live in a city like Columbus, that's not a big city.
No,
you know,
no.
It's a mid-sized city, and like it's very, a lot of people do know each other. The people that move among the restaurants and, you know, even people like Brett and I, we know a lot of people because it's a small place.
It's a small pond, man. It's a small pond and the big fish get along, but I mean, there's very few of them. Like I'm not networking in the way that you could in a huge city. I mean, it's a small pond still. And when you're talking about restaurant, you get a reputation. If you're a woman that goes into a kitchen and you file a complaint because you got sexually harassed, which you rightfully should, it still is going to prevent people from hiring because they feel like you're a liability, you know, because you're willing to complain
drama.
About sexual drama.
They call it drama.
You're too emotional as a woman.
They always call it. They'll say, like, I don't want a bunch. Because whenever I've worked at a restaurant recently or whenever I went to an interview for a restaurant, like, the manager would bring up to me, like, you know, we don't like a lot of drama here. And it's like, no business would say we
who
like
invites
a lot.
That?
Like, except for WWE.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we love it. I mean, we want to have like a real knockdown, drag out fight happen in the middle of rush hour. We would love to add that kind of excitement to our restaurant environment.
We would love it if somebody called another person out into the back to fight every single night of the week.
Right, right. I want you to start dressing somebody down. I want you to read the fuck out of somebody and then throw a fucking tray against the wall. Because there has to be passion in food.
Yeah.
This is not simply serving. This is food. This is sustenance. There should be passion. There should be fire.
There should be abuse hurled at people. Yeah. Like, you want really dark vibes in the air when you're making food.
And you, I mean, the old hands at the rest, the people that do make it into the restaurant industry at their 40s are always like, I work fucking 60 hours a week and you didn't hear me complaining, so I don't know why there's a fucking problem.
Yeah, I just hate eating shit. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't think you should have to eat shit because you like to cook food.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be a thing where you get into the industry. And, like, we're not, I'm not talking about, like, McDonald's or something. Because the places I'm talking about, I've only worked at one. You know, these are the more local, the more, I mean, even more upscale. Like, the people we know that cook at these places cook at very upscale places. And, like, it's insane. Like, you hear these stories about how wild that kitchen is. And, like,
it's nice. It is, but it's a life. I mean, it's really it is a renegade lifestyle. There's a lot of outlaws. And, yeah, it is a place where, you know, you start out at $11 an hour, you know, $12 an hour, which makes it better than most other opportunities. And it's a place you can also get to $14, $15, $16 an hour. If you, give up all of your time for it, you know, like, you have to be willing to be there all the time. And it's weird because it's small, like, there's a lot of small crew aspects of it too, where, you know, you're very important part of it. Like, if you're the person that does, like, the prep station and they need prep done every single day, you can't miss a day because you're the prep person. You know what I mean? There's just, I don't know. It's a very,
It's
such a unique environment.
Calling off in a restaurant is, I mean, you just can't do it.
Right.
It's a lot of people cook sick. Obviously, a lot of people cook sick because if they didn't, the restaurant would be closed. And the worst thing for a business is ever being closed.
Yeah.
If a business closes during the day, that's like we've had a tragedy, you know? Because I've never heard of a business be like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, nobody's here right now. Let's just close this fucking place. You all.
All right. We had a technical difficulty there. We went into some of the finer details of how much it fucking sucks to work at a restaurant. I don't know exactly what y'all got. So we will move into something else.
Well, we was talking about some restaurant and then we got it all wrong anyway. Mikadelic linked me to a story, Brett, and I read it, and I wanted to, you know, kind of talk about it on the show here, okay? Two armed men wearing tactical vests were arrested upon entering a Dearborn police station. Is this a story that you heard?
I don't know it.
Oh, this is a good story. These are some guys.
Tales as long as time.
I think this is some Lonnie's. Pretty sure we're going to get a Lonnie story. I guess that's good for the listeners, though, that the new listeners that aren't familiar with a Lonnie, right? We get asked all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's someone that pushes the boundaries too far. Living wild.
Yeah, living wild, like...
Free.
Yeah, yeah, like they'll steal a part off of somebody's car. Like if their car's broke down, they go and find somebody with the same car, and then they steal a part off of that car in the middle of the night.
Exactly. So what were these folks doing?
It's an extremely Lonnie behavior. So let's go to Dearborn, Michigan. A 24-year-old Leonard man and a 40-year-old Jackson man were taken into custody after entering the police station Sunday dressed in tactical vests and armed with multiple firearms. The suspects allegedly filmed the incident in a video is there. In the early afternoon, police were called to the shopping district of Ford Road and the Southfield Freeway. Oh, I know that area of town. I'm glad I read that. I'm really drawing the picture here.
This was here?
No, this happened in Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh, sorry,
Pretty much. I mean, I think Michigan is roughly the same as Ohio. We're going to say that. That's what people everywhere else think. In the early afternoon, they were called to the shopping district. because there were two suspicious men in a vehicle wearing tactical vests and masks. The men were gone when the police arrived. A Dearborn police sergeant on patrol saw the men in a vehicle at a park about 3 miles away. The sergeant conducted a traffic stop. Both men were wearing heavy tactical... God damn, why did they write that many times in the story? And the passenger refused to speak to the sergeant.
Some sovereign citizens.
These are our people, I'd like to tell you.
So you're not allowed to wear a tactical vest anymore? Heavy tactical vest seems to set off their alarms. You're going to get harassed by the cops just because you wear a heavy tactical vest in these very tumultuous times.
A mask, too, though. I understand.
People don't like that.
We have some pretty moderate listeners. I'm sure we have a person that's not into masks, like that thinks those mask ordinances are okay for normal life. Like, I'm kind of okay with it, if I'm being honest here, because like I'm uncomfortable with masks, like people wearing masks in public.
What about Black Bloc?
That's completely different situation. You know, these guys were out just hanging around with masks on, like sitting in the car. That is suspicious, okay? A little bit suspicious.
I mean, why is it suspicious?
Well, the sergeant released the men after. Why is it suspicious?
Yeah.
Why do you wear tactical vests? What are those for?
You don't want to get hurt when someone shoots at you.
What do you do? Keep some grenades on it, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that
the
is
the mask is what tough. The tactical vest, I would just think they were a wrestling fan. They were doing
a
shield thing.
50 Cent always wore one.
Yeah, that's cool. It's the mask that we just let's be careful about wearing masks in public. Like, only do it at certain times, and never wear a Guy Fawkes mask anywhere ever.
Well, it's helpful to know who your people are on your side.
Yeah.
If they're not a sheeple. How do you know if someone's not a sheeple?
True.
They're wearing a Guy Fawkes mask.
True. So he released them because they didn't have any guns, which seems like the reasonable
thing.
That's
weird. Why didn't they have guns?
Well, that's good that they didn't have. Well, because tactical doesn't mean shooting necessarily. It could maybe they're hand-to-hand combat tacticians.
Well, I think if you want to go out in public and you don't want people to know who you are and you don't want to get killed if a bullet comes your way, I don't think that should be against the fucking law.
I'm not saying it should be against the law. I'm saying
you shouldn't
that,
be
like,
harassed by the fuzz neither.
Yeah, I mean, but
they weren't doing nothing.
We need to go one step further than that, because the fuzz came because somebody called the fuzz. And I think that's ground zero for where this problem started.
Because they're uncomfortable that you're hanging out in a ski mask and a tactical vest.
Yeah, if you owned a business, let's say like gas station or something like that, and there were two people sitting in a car with tactical vests and a mask, would you call the police? How would you handle that? I'm going to give you a second to think about it. I'll filibuster for a second here so you can go into your mind and put yourself behind the counter and the cigarettes are behind you, everything.
You got to confront that head on. I'd walk right out to the vehicle and say, are you all out here thinking about robbing my goddamn store right now? Just fess up. God damn it. Be a goddamn man about it.
Make a deal. You go out and be like, I'll give you some money.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you need?
Come in here.
You got an electric bill? We all do. I understand. What do you need? 110? Done.
You can have everything in the cash register.
I'll bring some Sour Punch straws out.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Like, that is what we would do. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, am I anarchist enough to be like, no, I wouldn't call the police on that? That's a moral dilemma in my mind. Like, I'm thinking about it.
They got face recognition software that's like calculating all of your features when you're walking around outside, man. You got to cover up.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I guess. I mean,
it is crazy. I'm just being devil's advocate.
No, I understand.
People are uncomfortable as fuck with a ski mask. It's like, come on, man. Just show me your face.
That's
it's like
how
wearing
I always
sunglasses
feel.
Inside.
Be a normal person. Just show me your face. It's fine. We don't. I don't have facial recognition software. I will guarantee you, I'll forget your face as soon as you leave.
So they. I mean, so what happened?
So somebody called the police.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Because they're nervous. The officers confronted the men who initially they. So okay. In the video, one of the men says they're going to the police station to file a complaint because they were illegally pulled over about an hour ago. This is so sovereign citizen. This is touching my heart right here. Okay. I like that Mike would send us this story. Like he knows these sovereign citizens are kind of, we think we can get them on our side.
I mean, I still like, I want to have an easy life, but I still consider myself a sovereign citizen complete. Like unironically, like I want to be sovereign more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be controlled by the USA.
Yeah. Well, give me too. That is true. I don't think that there's a magic code.
No.
That you can, like, that's
but
the
I
difference.
Desperately want to be sovereign.
I do too. I want to be I wish I was a leftist sovereign citizen. I wish there was a left sovereign citizen movement. I don't understand why it can't happen. Like, I don't get it, man. Some of us
liberation.
Just
we gotta
like,
call it. It's a liberation, not sovereign. It's a liberation movement.
But I like sovereign citizen. I like stealing that from those people too. I am a free inhabitant, and according to maritime law, so these guys were like, "Look, the state, the goddamn illegitimate corporation of the United States of America, came and they." Rifled through my truck just because I'm looking suspicious as hell.
Yeah, kind of fucked up.
Hey, man, this is like when they ask for your papers.
Yeah, it's like fucking with a Muslim lady, right?
No.
Isn't it?
No. No.
Well, what
different.
About the rights of like religious people to cover their face?
That's fine with me. I'm okay with that.
But you don't like white boys doing it because they're up to
no
good.
That's true. This is kind of racist. Okay. Like,
I'm just
fine.
Saying
I'm always
that people
okay.
are going to think you're a cuck. I'm just trying to say how they're going to see this. The hypocrisy.
I know. Listen, I'm a hypocrite when it comes to this. I'm more suspicious.
I agree.
Of a white guy squirrely with a ski mask than pretty much anybody else on the planet.
A fucking guy that has ghost tattooed above his belly button, like in old English script.
Yeah, yeah.
And then wears a ski mask out there.
Yes, that's what I would picture being in there. These guys were probably just like regular. They probably looked like me and you. Hell, I mean, they could have.
Should
been.
We go to? I mean, it's like Zapatistas. Too man, like that's I love those. Those,
I do too.
Those
they're
mask
not
mask wearing motherfuckers.
They're not white and they're left.
That's
they're
true.
Leftist.
We can, if we start wearing masks though, I mean it's just they were like these are the bombing kind of anarchists. I think they've been radicalized to the point where they're gonna bomb now.
I would love it if instead of like we gotta get. I remember when the Guy Fox mask was really taken off. And I was like, no, let's do the
ski mask instead.
Marcos.
Yes,
ski mask.
Exactly.
That's like a cool thing to wear.
Yes, Marcos ski mask is way better than like a Disney movie.
And a black leather jacket.
Right.
And a really nice pair of jeans. And a
great pair of boots.
Some great pair of boots. And pulls up on a dirt bike. That's what's going to get the revolution started.
I think
man.
So. I think that's the leaders.
Shit, that's romantic. I hope somebody out there draws that. Draws the liberator. It's beautiful when I think of it. So
they are aiming to do something different in this restaurant. Are we still talking about that restaurant?
What? No, we stopped talking
sorry.
About that. We
I'm
skipped the restaurant.
Drunk.
We're done with the restaurant.
Okay,
we fucked up. You remember the thing stopped recording?
Sorry.
We are stoned. We did another show right before
we
this.
We did. I've got way too buzzed. Like, I'm on a crash course.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Usually when we're recording, you get the earlier part of it.
Yeah, you do. You do. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if this show's going to make sense at this point.
That's fine. It's enough.
We're probably not going to do two in a row anymore.
Yeah, we'll reestablish. At least we'll work on the technical aspects of it.
Yeah. So in the video, one of the men says they're going to the police station to file a complaint because they were illegally pulled over about an hour ago. He says they feared for their lives during the traffic stop, so they figured they ought to protect themselves. So now these men show up to the police station with the mask and with guns in their hand and say, I was scared of what you did when you rifled through my belongings earlier. So I brought this gun and I'm wearing this mask and I got this thing. I mean, I'd like to file a complaint against you.
That's quite the challenge to the police.
That is. I mean, that's the thing. These people are, that's how you know they're actually white, is that like they're not dead. They walked into a police station with a gun in their hands and they're going to walk out alive. Like they're not dead right now.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, they are the brave warriors that are confronting the police's violence with their own shit, you know? Like, this is what the, like, when I got pulled over and I got caught for having weed and that guy tried to ruin my fucking life, I mean, that was all done because he would have shot me if I would have tried to get away from it.
Yeah, you couldn't, like, I always think about, like, if you could just, if it's a one-on-one fight, you know? And you get away, and it's just some simple thing like you ran a red light or something.
Yeah, like
I always think that like no harm, no foul.
Yeah, you did it. Like, no, I think chasing people down is ridiculous. They chase these guys down and kill them, or they chase them down and charge them, and it's like they got away. Like you failed as a cop. Like you just have to eat that. Like you got the L this time, Popo.
Yeah, catch them. You gotta catch them and get the cuffs on.
Right. That's the job. Like no searching, no running numbers on people. Like you had the chance to catch somebody that ran a fucking red light and you lost it. Like,
yeah, now you gotta fight them. I mean, not every time. A lot of people would just pay it. They'd be afraid of the police. But if like a person even tried to, because I mean the we talk about this a lot, the resisting arrest thing, where it's like the cops don't even like that. You could always fight them if you wanted to, but like in my mind, every single person gets caught. I don't really know why I think that, but in my mind, it just feels like they catch everybody. Everybody I knew that did crime got caught all the fucking time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't check the numbers. I just know that they have a fucking ridiculous attitude when it comes towards their expectations
of their safety, their expectations of their safety. And right, these sovereign citizen guys are probably the only people that test that don't get killed, right? You know, that because they kind of respect those guys. It's like their Uncle Terry or something.
Yeah, I mean, it is a matter of making their job difficult, because at the end of the day, like, I may violently hate the police, but when I interact with them, I just want it to be over with. Like, I'm not trying to prove a point. I don't think this jackass...
You could, though, is what I'm saying. Because, like, if the way that they let sovereign citizens do it, you have all the characteristics of you're a white dude, you dress like not crazy. Like, they even would probably not feel like you were a threat at all. And actually, that brings me to a funny story. We're going to end this show here in just a minute, but I want to tell a story before we go off the air, because this is a mess. This is the weirdest show we've done in a long time.
Okay.
So I broke my phone last week. Did we talk about that on the other show?
I don't think we did.
Yeah, I broke my phone last week, and Brett had the money for me to get it fixed, so He's loaning me the money, and it's 8:30, right? It's 8:30 p.m., and I find on Yelp that there's one place that's open till 10, and it's just some college kid in his dorm. So we drove to this kid's dorm, handed him the phone. He went inside, came back out in 20 minutes, and the phone was fixed.
Yeah, it was nice.
And it was really, really cheap. And when he came, like, yes, there was a part of me that when I first started, because Brett was acting like it was a wild thing that we were driving to the dorms a little bit, right? You were like, so you're just going to go like to this place?
Well, I mean, it was, for me, you were complaining about your phone, and you were like, I can't get it fixed, I have to wait until this day. And I said, I have the cash on me, and you said, I'll find somebody. And you went to Yelp, and you looked on there to look who was open the latest and fixed phones, and found this dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so we drove there, and you were kind of like, so you're just going to take your phone to somebody and hand it to them and let them go away with it. And I kind of was like, you know, I felt like when I saw the guy, I told Brett, I saw him and I was like, I profiled this guy and he's not going to steal my phone.
Yeah, I mean, I understood. I mean, I really wasn't against it. I just knew that you probably should take some precautions. But I also thought that guy had such a trustworthy face that it would be the perfect, like, stealing face.
Right.
Like, people that would be perfect thieves don't ever become thieves. That's, like, kind of the... That's kind of a weird formula.
That's true. I actually got my phone fixed another time where I went to somebody's house and they had one of those Gadsden flags hanging out outside. And it was just like I knocked on... Because I always go... I call around. And I'm like, hey, how much will it cost you to fix this phone? And then I go to the absolute cheapest place. And this one was just a teenager. And I sat at his kitchen table while his parents sat in the next room next to him and just watched TV. And, like, we just chatted. And the phone got fixed, man. And it was $20 cheaper.
Yeah. No, they don't have to pay that brick and mortar cost. They don't have to pay them government overhead costs.
Nope. No permits for them.
That kid could have easily just could have been, it was perfect because it was great service. You pulled up, we dropped it off, we went and picked up some chocolate cake and we drove back and it was done. But he easily could have just been jacking phones.
I mean, he could have just never come back out and like, what was I going to do? Go in there and like try describing them and shit like that.
Well, that's what I mean. He just seems smart enough where it's like, once you know how to do it, like he's just making bank off of this. He just has to be at home and do his studies and then he's bothered for 20 minutes sporadically and he makes, you know, $50 off of it. You know?
It's smart, man. That's like a savings account in a college town. Like because that's where
it's
like people break the shit out of their phones.
Right. It's one of those situations too, where it just pays to be legit. Like you'd rather just be fixing phones than stealing them.
Yeah.
Like stealing them means you're going to get some heat on you. You got to fence them, you know, like it's just a lot more nefarious.
When they break all the fuck, I mean, people break their, like every screen on every phone. Like every 8 out of 10 phones or 7 out of 10 phones have broken, cracked screens.
Dude, I just paid $200 and some to get my shit fixed.
I paid $80 to get my screen fixed. And it was just the sweetest, most trustworthy kid came out, got my phone, went into his dorm and fixed it, you know?
And actually, well, we have a listener that is contacts us a lot, and I appreciate her input that she always gives us, but Kristen... asked at one point, and it was a very open-ended question, but what do we think of the Yelp service, just the website Yelp?
Man, it's weird because I don't treat it like the be-all, end-all, and it might hurt people. I can see where it would hurt somebody's business that's like a 3.5 star, because like why would anybody go there when there's so many 4-star restaurants?
Sure.
You know,
but at the same time it did add legitimacy to that guy. You're like, this guy's a 4-star on Yelp. I mean, I don't think he's stealing, you know.
Yeah, it's got to have at least, man, I'm now that I know that Brett got paid to write Yelp reviews, I'm going to need like 300 reviews now.
I did.
Like, I need a lot because I went to a place the other night that had 16 and it was 5 stars, 16 perfect reviews, right? And no, it was 16, but one of them was like 4.5. A few of them were 4.5. The other ones were perfect, but it was not good. It was a very bad restaurant situation.
You said that the ribs were covered in brown sugar.
Yeah, and like too much brown sugar. The brown sugar flavor was bad. But the real issue was they took a real long time to get my food to me. And that shouldn't happen in a barbecue place. It's kind of already insane.
Yeah, they're not like sauteing shit.
No. No, it should just, you should.
It's hot and ready, and you cut it off and throw it on a plate, and then you scoop out the sides next to it.
Yes, yes. It shouldn't, they shouldn't, there's no heating up at a barbecue restaurant. And that was, and there was also, like, it was really disconcerting because there was no music on in the dining area.
Yeah, that's not fun. It was, if there's a lot of people there, that adds some noise, but.
Not a ton of people there. I mean, there was one other. This
just
was,
listen to people chew.
Well, yeah, and talk. Like, everybody was, like, whisper talking to each other so the other table couldn't hear them. It was. And a guy went up and told the woman who was working at the register, he was like, hey, you should play some music in there. And she was like, yeah, I just ain't had time yet.
See,
like, that's an important thing.
Yeah, that's tough. I do think Yelp is a good service because it was way too detrimental, I think, to some people, to some businesses initially when it's launched, but now we've kind of organized ourselves in a way to understand, like, how hyperbolic people get on there.
Yeah.
And how, like, okay, so this chick is about to run through her nightmare scenario, and it don't sound half bad to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And a one-star review from a maniac.
Right.
You know, that's the thing I always think about. Like, I think I like the reviews.
I do.
I love reading people's writing, and that's a place where people write things that are, like, they write the worst thing that happened to them that day a lot of times.
I mean, I think that as a community board, I think that is a part of my, you know, organized society where people could post stuff. You know, I have heard it's a piece of shit company in the way that they will let people pay to get, like, certain reviews buried and stuff. Yeah. I've heard a lot of complaints from business owners that I know that say they kind of get put in a ransom situation with Yelp. And that was the case a few years ago. I don't know what it is anymore. But it was a lot of, like, I mean, if you paid for pro status, we'd make sure that those one stars don't show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So prevalent.
I wish there was a site. Oh, that is smart, though, for Yelp. They got to make some cash.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to pay them off.
But they are shaking down.
Hey, we won't
down.
Tell nobody about, you know. Yeah, you serve an undercooked chicken, we won't let nobody know. You pay us.
They are shaking down, like, people that are squeezing every cent out of nothing. That's the problem. Like, that, they're, oh, my God, I didn't know they did that. They feel like the mob to me now. It really switched in my mind. I like it to find restaurants, though.
I agree. I mean, I think that you know, I don't, even though we celebrate working people, like, working people work at some terrible businesses that should be fucking closed. You know what I mean?
Well,
Boss Burger part of, like, I felt bad about singling out Boss Burger in DC, but it was literally the worst fucking restaurant I've been to in a very long time. They've failed in every department. Some shit is a kitchen nightmare. Like, that's when I want to be Gordon Ramsay and just scream at people.
Yeah, and it was on Yelp, it was a 1.5-star restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we should have looked. We were so desperate for a burger. You know, Virgil wanted a burger. We all were, like, really turned onto this burger idea. And we go to one, like, the only place that wasn't packed.
Yep. We can get right in, start eating quick. Well, not even quick. We can order quickly.
It was a bad experience. And then I just recently had a bad experience at a restaurant. I mean, but that's part of living in the world, you know?
Sure.
But if we had checked Yelp before, we wouldn't have had the Boss Burger experience.
True.
You know?
True. Yeah, and it is still also, for Yelp, it represents a certain segment of people only access that.
Yes, that's true, too. Because
there's, like, a moneyed, luxurious section. People that do have the time to be like, oh, you know, I will write a scathing review of this Wendy's. You know what I mean? Someone that'll go all in on you know, some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I love... I will read a review on like a Wendy's or a Burger King, just because like I have the worst Burger King in the city by my house.
It's a famous one.
Like I have a Burger King by my house that has a subreddit, and I. You know, I try to go to, I like.
It's wacky.
It's
like they will run out of buns. They will run out of cheese. Like they will run out of staple shit.
Yes. The icy machine never works. But like the only thing I really like from Burger King is icies. And it's just, you go in there to try to get an icy and they're like 90% of the time it doesn't work. You feel so lucky when you get one.
And it's like rolling a dice.
Yeah, and I went in there the one time, and I got an icy and I got an icy and a cinnamon roll or something like that. I'm just like, I'm. It was like 2 a.m. and I was stoned. And
yeah,
I was out. I go to get an icy and a cinnamon roll, and they're like, "Man, the icy machine isn't working." And I'm like, "Okay." And they're like, and we can't take the cinnamon roll. We can't take the icy off the order after we already rung it up. So
what?
You either get the cinnamon roll and the icy or
or you have to hit the bricks.
You have to pay for it. Yeah, you have to pay for it and you might get the cinnamon. Yeah.
I saw somebody else say that. I did actually see that. Somebody else was like, they took all my money and didn't get, they said they couldn't make change or something.
Yeah, yeah. They've taken money. Yeah, they've done that, but they didn't even take the money from me.
But yeah, they just charged you for something they couldn't give you.
I mean, they don't care at all about, I don't think they care at all about making a dime for the Burger King Corporation.
No, sure. Sure. They shouldn't.
I mean,
I should be. I was like a Dadaist, like avant-garde style. Like this should be the kind of relationship we have with these places. They don't know humanity.
It's the most honest fast food restaurant. You know, it's telling the truth.
Yeah,
it's the service should.
They treat people like Lego characters that they place inside of their restaurants, and that they've gotten to the point where they have to just pay these people that aren't going to actually do the job.
And a Burger King isn't going to close.
No, they have enough money to keep throwing at the problem.
Do you think...
Well, some hard-nosed manager is going to come through there at some point.
Either that or it's like a cursed, like, fast food. There's, like, cursed fast food lots where it's like, this is just this shit. Because there's a Taco Bell in Columbus. I'm not going to single out the Taco Bell on Hudson and High that has a really bad reputation, too.
Well, that kind of messes up my theory, though, is that in some places of... I feel like people are more forgiving in places of higher wealth or class type thing. Like people are more like,
they don't want to get somebody. They're just I don't want to get somebody fired.
I don't care. I can pay the extra $3 that they said they couldn't give me for the chicken fries that I ordered. You know what I mean? Like they're not going to write in, you know, they're not going to piss off somebody that doesn't have anything better than doing than be petty about their Burger King order with a district manager. You know what I mean?
What if they're gimmicking up the metrics, too? Like, the manager that works there knows how to make the metrics look really good.
Yeah, these fucking upper crust people, they don't give a fuck, man. They'll pay for extra shit just to get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. So it might not ever go under.
I don't know. You know? It might be the most profitable Burger King in the country.
I wish. If you come into Columbus, we'll go to the Bad Burger King with you.
That's a good idea. We need to do that for like. We need to add a new level to our Patreon. People they get a personal experience with Street Fight, and we'll take you to the Bad Burger King to go get a fucked up order with us. We'll try to make it through the experience without. You know, going ape shit.
Well, I mean, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I love it. We'll just display some
bad work for you. You know, we can take you somewhere where the service is lousy and it's like you're actually in a fight with the people that work there.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a passive experience. This is like being in the middle of a blood sport.
Well, neither was Boss Burger either. Like, I felt like I was getting yelled at when.
Oh, no,
when,
that guy, you're 78. You 78? Like, yeah, I'm 78. Here's your burger.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Did I do something What is it? Okay. I mean, I felt that way too. They were really fucking contentious.
We were all high too.
I ordered a fucking hamburger that was supposed to have avocado and lettuce and tomato and all of this shit. There was supposed to be an aioli, all of this special shit. This motherfucker slides a hamburger at me, a veggie burger, that was just a big fat patty on a starched white bun. And he said, "You're 78? And I said, "Yeah." He said, "There's your burger." And I felt like if I would have said anything, he would have reached over and slammed my forehead into the counter.
Yeah, I felt like he hated you. And then you had really rubbed off on him, and he hated me just for being with you.
Right, for having the same order. Yeah.
He was so mad. He was so fucking angry. And, like, I love that part of the experience.
I do like that. I mean, that's what makes it good.
It's like Malort. It's like...
It is like Malort. Exactly like Malort.
Being treated like pure shit by a service worker is kind of like...
They're doing a horrible job. They're doing a terrible job. They didn't... the service is awful. They didn't have alcohol. They didn't... The burger they gave me wasn't anything that I ordered. But then they also feel like, "I wish you would motherfucking complain about this."
Yeah.
They are ready to fucking fight you. Like, they don't have time for it. Like, you get what you get, basically. And it is like those experiences, they're still a story to tell. I mean, it's not like, oh, they had these amazing bold flavors. I mean, it's just... Like, I remember the guy walking back and forth that was listening to our conversation. Like, all six of us and the whole Chapo gang is, like, going off in the middle of the restaurant about how fucking awful this place is. And this guy's walking back with a mop. And I can see his just eye listening to everything we're saying. And he's just ignoring the shit out of it.
You know what I mean? He didn't care.
No. He knows it's bad. As he's like, "I'm just here to get a paycheck.
Yeah,
I just do mopping stuff, and I know that it's really fucked up."
Yeah, I have like a real, like, bad service thing. Like, it makes a long impression on me, you know. And I have like, it's even like a bad movie experience. You ever go to the movies and have like a horrendous experience, and you come out on the other end loving it? Like, I saw The Raid 2, and this dude was telling jokes through the whole movie, but they were funny. So I was just like, "Fuck it." I mean,
that's good entertainment anyway. Yeah, that's good entertainment.
But I had a guy answer his phone one time at the movies, like sitting behind me, and he just, "Hold on, I'm going to be out of here in like 15 minutes."
Yeah, I've had movies like that X vs. Sever movie that came out like a decade and a half ago. That was one where like 23 minutes in, I was like, "Oh man, I'm stuck in this theater for a while and I don't want to see this." Like,
yeah.
Everybody here is just looking at this fucking movie and I do not want to look at this movie. Like, I don't want to be involved with the main attraction that's happening right now.
I went to see the Ben Stiller movie Tower Heist.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched the whole movie, like, all the way up until... Like, you know how when there's a heist in a movie, they show the grand opening of the place they're stealing from, and like, they're like, "Doo doo doo doo, this is happening today in this tower that's based on this movie," and then the fucking thing just stopped. And like, we're sitting there, and like, the movie sucks. You know what I mean? Nobody in the theater is enjoying this movie.
Right.
And they come in and they're like, "We can't really do anything about this. You can come out and get a free pass." But
the movie stopped?
Yeah, the movie just stopped working. And they were like, "Well, I mean, we're sorry. We can't fix it. So, you know, you can come back here and get a free pass for another movie." I'm like, "Well, I don't have time to go to another movie. And I missed the fucking heist."
You watched two-thirds of Tower Heist and never saw a tower get heisted.
I saw Tower. I just watched Tower. Tower plan. Like, wow. They were all planning to do the heist, and they were just like, "You can, you know, we'll give you a free ticket." And it's like, fuck, those free tickets suck too, because you can only use them on certain movies.
Oh, I know. They never give you a full refund.
Never.
They're like, "Never. Can you come here in the afternoon?" It's like, "I work, motherfucker." "I work Lennox Theaters."
"Yeah, I don't have time."
"No,
yeah.
I'm not going to come for a special matinee."
Yeah, or I've gone to them where they didn't turn the lights out. through the whole movie until like halfway over. I actually learned how to turn the lights out at the movie theater when I was going all the time because like I'd be the only person seeing the movie and nobody would come in and turn the lights out.
I'll cut these off then, I guess. Yeah. I can do that.
When there were like other people in the theater and I had to go turn the lights out, it was like... They were like, oh, this guy, he knows what he's doing.
He's a regular. He's a regular.
Must be a movie critic, that guy. He's in here all the time. All right, guys. That's a real limp to the finish line there.
Sorry. We do have to end at some point.
We're done.
We did it.
Yeah, we did it. We made it. This is like, I'm exhausted now.
Yeah, Street Fight Radio happens 3 times a week. Find us on SoundCloud. Find us on iTunes. Find us on Android Podcasting. If you want to support what we do, which is trying to change the world into a horizontally organized party that shakes off the Republicans and Democrats and smashes the ruling class, if you want to help us on our mission, do that by supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/Street Fight Radio. There you can sign up to get our live videos, which we're giving you exclusive live videos at least once a month. You're going to get access to that DC show we talked about at the end of this one, our Chicago show, even the live show in Columbus. I think I'm going to try to get some video to put out there. That's the way to see it. Patreon's the way to do it. Also our zine. Once a month we're doing a zine, Street Fight Presents. Small Business Tyrants is the very first one. We have guest spots from Caulk the Wagon and Buyer Logic and Dank Metal. I did a bunch of drawings in there. It's a really amazing, and if you want to keep getting it, Patreon's the way to do it. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll be back. We're Street Fight. Peace.
El punto final de una emoción. Marca la hora, fue una obsesión quererte más tan a deshoras. No puedo encontrar el antifaz, mala memoria. Fue una obsesión besarte más con poca ropa.
dame un minuto para sentirme bien, dame un segundo y estar contigo bien. Dame una hora para poderte ver, dame un minuto para sentirme bien, dame un segundo y estar contigo bien.